It's time now for some business news. Charles Pellegrin joins me in the studio for that. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Karis.
You're starting with some Chinese trade trends.
The world's second biggest economy clocked its highest ever trade surplus in 2025. This as its exports grew over 5% on the year, while its imports stayed flat, and in spite of trade tensions with the U.S., which is still China's biggest trade partner. Exports from China to the U.S. Dropped 20% last year. Instead, exporters have ramped up shipments to non-U.S. markets, leading to growing trade imbalances, which have sparked concerns that cheaper Chinese goods are taking over their markets. The head of the IMF, Kristalina Georgieva, called on Beijing in December, actually, to rely less on exports and instead attempt to boost its domestic consumption, which has been at a standstill. The trade surplus in 2025 reached over $1.19 trillion, which represents a 20% increase compared with 2024. While unveiling the data, Chinese officials blamed U.S. curbs on high-tech imports for their low importation volumes and promised to open the Chinese market more in 2026.
All right, well, speaking of those U.S. tech curbs on exports to China, Trump has shown some flexibility.
The U.S. government has given chip giant NVIDIA the green light to sell its second most advanced semiconductor, the H200, to China. The AI processor had previously been restricted on concerns it would give China's tech industry and military an edge over the U.S. Nevertheless, according to Reuters, Chinese customs agents have been told these chips are not permitted. Beijing has been keen to promote development of its local chip industry.
And how have equity Asian markets fared this Wednesday?
Well, the Shanghai Composite, as you're about to see, trading lower, while the Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong saw gains. The Nikkei Index in Tokyo, meanwhile, by hitting record highs on expectations that Prime Minister Sunae Takaichi will call for a snap election, with investors expecting her to advocate policies that stimulate the economy. In Europe, at the open, we're seeing flat or higher trading. Investors eyeing that scheduled meeting between U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Greenlandic and Danish officials later today.
All right. In the U.S., meanwhile, Donald Trump continues his affordability quest ahead of the midterm elections.
He's vowed to cap credit card interest rates for consumers at 10% starting on January 20th. The average rate currently stands between 19.65% and 21.5%. A cap could cost banks $100 billion in lost revenue per year. Reporters relayed concerns voiced by banking executives like Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase about the potential negative side effects of this if this was imposed. And Trump said he wasn't concerned.
Paying 28% interest should be protected. We're talking about for a one-year period, but when you have a bank, whether it's Jamie Dimon or anybody else, charging people 28, 32%, 30%, 31%, one case 35%, no, I'll help those people. That's all right.
All right, next, an icon of luxury is fighting for survival amid a changing retail landscape.
Saks Global filed for bankruptcy protection on Tuesday. The company's retail outlets include not just the flagship chain Saks Fifth Avenue, but also Bergdorf Goodman and Neiman Marcus. It was the acquisition of Neiman Marcus in 2024 that set the company on the road to collapse, as the company took on some $2 billion in debt financing to complete the deal. Brian Quinn has the details.
Once a symbol of American opulence, now the latest casualty of a sea change in luxury fashion. Saks Global has filed for bankruptcy protection, one of the largest retail collapses since the COVID-19 pandemic.
They had laid out a plan that they thought would be suitable and achievable in order to be able to pay their bills and produce the kind of global group that they're seeking. However, that did not work out for them.
In 2024, Saks Fifth Avenue parent company Hudson's Bay orchestrated a $2.7 billion merger with rival Neiman Marcus, using some $2 billion in debt financing. The deal's mastermind, CEO Richard Baker, a real estate magnate who had previously shepherded other struggling retailers like Lord & Taylor through their tough downturns. But a fall in foot traffic during the pandemic and a failure to procure enough inventory to keep its shelves stocked, along with its now massive debt load, proved too much for Saks to overcome. The company now has as many as 25,000 creditors, including many luxury brands themselves. Chanel is owed some $136 million, Gucci owner Kering $60 million, LVMH $26 million. Saks's struggles are emblematic of a larger trend among high-end department stores, which must now compete not only with e-commerce platforms and mass-market chains, but also designer brands' own exclusive boutiques. The company says it has secured a $1.75 billion financing package from its creditors that will allow it to keep its doors open for now.
All right, Charles Pellegrin, thank you very much for that business updates.